revelation that is found in the written word. Our eyes are open this morning to see Jesus, even as he sees us in himself. As a study for that, on the things of the Spirit, we are well enlightened to walk in our own, to walk in our authority that is found in you. Together this morning, we behold Jesus, even as he sees us in himself, he is glorified, and we are edified. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How is this noise still coming in? Amen. So we are looking at school of the Spirit. Hallelujah. School of the Spirit. And I call this is Series 2, Volume 2, Section 2. Amen. So, you know, many times people don't know, when you tell people, what do you know about the Spirit? They tend to talk a whole lot of funny things about the Spirit. Hallelujah. A dear man of God said something. I said it last time, and I'm still saying it again. A dear man of God said something, but Kenneth Hagin, Papa Hagin. He says, when the things of the Spirit are not taught, they will be lost. Amen. Amen. When the things of the Spirit are not taught, they will be lost. Sometimes when you ask people, what do you know about the Spirit? All they know is what they've watched on Nollywood. What do you know about the Spirit? It's the evil spirit, bad spirit, mommy was that spirit. What about the Holy Spirit? What do you know about the Holy Spirit? You know nothing about the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are discussing the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The things of the Spirit. The school of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, that's the word power, has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, when Jesus said, teaching them all I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you, we said that is an emphasis that wasn't the lost in the local church. Teaching people about the things of the Spirit. Amen. I am with you. John 14, from verse 16. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because you're not seeing him or knowing him. He said, but you know him. But shall be in you and shall dwell with you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hallelujah. So Jesus said he will come to us. And how will he come to us? Is by the Spirit. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is Jesus at home in us. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. And with us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what are we looking at? The things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The things of the Spirit. And we said, something we said that we mustn't forget is the fact that Bible itself, Genesis 1:1, opens up in a supernatural world. In a supernatural world. So what should be taught is the supernatural. The supernatural is beyond the natural. The natural is what we see here, see. But the supernatural is the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens and the earth, as we said, is the supernatural and the natural in the same place. So we said, the Bible opens up in a supernatural world. Hallelujah. Supernatural world. Supernatural world. So I said, well, yeah, heaven and earth, in Genesis 1, Moses wasn't writing science. That wasn't science. Science of creation. No. Moses was writing the supernatural and the natural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Very vital. So, we said the Bible is a supernatural book. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So, the Bible is a supernatural book that is written in natural language, written in human language. The Bible is a supernatural book that is written in human language. So, ask a question. Who is man? Abi? Was that the question we asked? Who is man? Who can remind us what we said last week Sunday? Who is man? Eh? Yes? He said, man is God's representative. He said, who is man again? Right? Who is man? We say, what is man? Who is man? We say, man was created in God's image after his likeness, right? God, man was created to see, right? And to hear in the supernatural and say it in the natural, right? And we said, man was created, or God's plan is for man to be what? His priest and his what? Prophet, right? Did you say that? Now, something I want you to do. When you come to church and you write notes like this, at least before you come to church the next week, right? Most times on Saturday night, review your notes, look at your last week's notes. Amen. It will help you. As you come to church and pastor is talking again, or someone is teaching you, you'll know where to continue from. Amen. Okay with me. Always carry down your notes. That's why it's not good to write on paper alone. When you don't write on paper, transfer it to your notes. Amen. So the man was created to function in the supernatural assembly of God as God's prophet and God's priest. Hallelujah. So who does God want to be prophet? Is this you people or all his children? All his children, right? God wants all his children to be prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we say, God has a supernatural assembly. Did we say that? Job chapter 15, quickly. Let's quickly watch the Job 15. We're looking at something last week. Job 15. How many of us were here last week Sunday? Let me see your hand. If you were here last week Sunday, please tell those guys outside coming. How many of you were here last week Sunday? How many of you were here last week Sunday and you wrote notes? You have your notes. You have your notes. Okay, I'm going to do something. Eh? And you have your notes here. Let me see your hands. You have your notes here. Job 15, sorry. Job 15. Verse 7. It says, are thou the first man that was born, or was thou made before the heel? Are thou heard of the secrets of God, and does thou restrain wisdom to thyself? Now we say, well, the other word secrets there is the word in the Hebrew sword, S-O-D, used for an assembly. Used for an assembly. An assembly of God. Amen. So, we said, God walks in an association of supernatural beings. Amen. Supernatural beings are unseen beings. Amen. So we say God walks in an association of supernatural beings. Open your Bible to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, we're going to read all together. So Bible, Psalm 89. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? Hey, answer now. Okay, from verse 4, this has gone on. Verse 4. So we will take verse 4 together. I'll take verse 5, you take verse 6. I'll take verse 7, we'll all take verse 8 together. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. Let's read verse 4 together. One, two, go. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to the generation, to all generations, Selah. I'll read verse 5. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Verse 6, you can take. Take verse 6 again. One, two, go. We will return everybody back their school fees. Take verse 6 together. One, two, go. Calm down, calm down. Don't read as though
they did not face defeat for you. Read one by one. No, you are not in a competition for who to read faster. Now read one to go.
For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord?
Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord?
Verse 7.
God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of them that are about him.
Let's say it all together.
O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee, thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the winds thereof arise, thou killest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thy enemies with thy strong hand. The heavens are mine, the earth are also thine. I mean, the heavens are thine, the earth are also thine. For as the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, what was he saying here? Back to verses 7 and 8. He said, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Saints is not referring to we now. He was referring to supernatural things. Amen. He now said, in verse 8, that is, oh Lord God of hosts. Amen. God of what? Hosts. Now when we use that word host there, the word host is in the Hebrew used for a company, an association, an assembly of supernatural beings. Host, Nasa in the Hebrew. It's used for an association of supernatural beings. What are you following me? Supernatural beings. So God is the Lord of hosts. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Lord of lords. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Lord over all supernatural beings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 2 verse 1. Let's see where the word host is used. Genesis 2 1. Now verse 1. It says, God the heaven and the earth were finished and all the host of them. What is the host of them is the word? Supernatural or natural? Supernatural. I told you Genesis 1 is not a creation of science things or physical things. It was a creation Moses was writing about the supernatural and the natural. Amen. You don't use Genesis chapter 1 to go and compete with science. You will fail because Moses was not writing science. What are you hearing me? Moses was not writing science. Wasn't science at all. We're going to get to see some of those things. Amen. Look at Genesis 21. Genesis 21. We will open a lot of scriptures this morning. So be ready. Genesis 21, are you there? Verses 22. It says, and it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Pichol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham. Host there is his army, a host of them. This is that an assembly, a company. Hallelujah. So when he says God is the God of hosts, is referring that he is the God of supernatural beings. Hallelujah. Look at verse 32. Genesis 21, 32. Genesis 32, verse 2. You can read that. So, hosts in Psalm 89, verse 4, is referring to supernatural beings. So, the Lord or Yahweh is the Lord of supernatural beings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore we say, God has a supernatural assembly. Right? Right? God has a supernatural assembly or supernatural beings. Right? And God also has a natural assembly of you and I. Hallelujah. Physical assembly. Supernatural assembly. But what is man? If we now say man was created by God. Remember, God formed Adam, formed man, and put man where? In his garden. I would say the garden of Eden is not a place where you have apple, copper, who is in the garden? No. We say the garden of Eden is a supernatural place. It's God's presence. Did we say that? Did we see that?
So God put man in his supernatural assembly. So when you get to the Garden of Eden and you are seeing the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's not the tree of apple, it's not a banana, it's not guava, it's not papa. No! When you have the trees there, trees are used for supernatural things. What are you hearing me? Trees are for supernatural things. So it's showing you that where God put Adam was in a supernatural place. Amen. Where did God put Adam? It's a supernatural place. So, before you now think, I'm going to deal with this before the year runs out. Because you think, you know, some people say, if Adam and Eve did not eat apple, we will all be in God's garden. Come on, let me knock your brain. If Adam and Eve did not eat, so the reason why we are seen as because of Adam and Eve. What is wrong with you? One, Adam and Eve did not eat apple. Two, Adam and Eve did not eat any tree. Three, Adam and Eve did not eat any fruit. Amen. The sin of Adam and Eve is not why a man is a sinner. What are you doing? Because you went to saw Adam and Eve. The next people you saw is Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were found were in the Garden of Eden. We saw that last week, right? Cain and Abel were back into the garden. So, I thought their father's sin took them out. No. Because we are reading Garden of Eden as a vegetable garden. Amen. Garden of Eden is God's presence. It's a supernatural place. What are you hearing me? It's a supernatural place. So when Cain sinned, what did Cain say? He said, Genesis chapter 4, verse 11, this is what he said. What did he say? He said, Lord, he said, you've driven me out of the earth. Before you think out of the earth means he has kicked him out of the earth, then he will be in space. And I said, out of thy space will I be healed. Out of thy presence. What is the Garden of Eden? The presence of God. You see that last thing. So the Garden of Eden is the presence of God, and Cain was kicked out of the presence of God. It therefore means that the sin of Adam and Eve didn't affect Cain and Abel. What are you going to do? So how will it not affect you? Amen. So the man said, if Adam and Eve that made us to the sinner, Adam will be there telling you, God, day your day. Day your day. Amen. Glory to God. It's just like Arsenal fans say, Chelsea fans should thank them for allowing fifth position group for Champions League. They are saying your day. You have got that well in peace. Amen. You are out. You are out in peace. Don't say you are the one that made me to do what. Amen. You know, I like the kind of quietness to give to Arsenal fans, and it will remain like that. Very loud and proud people. God bless you. Anyway, you are looking for who? Anyway. Who are you saying? They are protected under the umbrella of the Lord. In their going out and in their coming forth, they are preserved. Amen. Glory to God. Anyway, let's go ahead. Okay, with me. So, God has a supernatural assembly, and man was created to function well. What was man created to function? Both in the natural assembly and in the supernatural assembly. Amen. So that was why God put man in his garden. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope you're understanding it. What we're understanding is in the supernatural assembly. Simple. So who did he have again for you to understand Genesis 3? Conversation. Right? But the answer is not today. The answer is years to come. Hallelujah. The conversation between the woman and Lucifer. Or Satan and the serpent. Glory to God. So let's look at a few things. How are supernatural beings referred to in scripture? How are supernatural beings referred to in scripture? We'll get back to that Psalm 89. But let's look at how supernatural beings are referred to in scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4. From verses 12 is a long reading. Now it says, and the Lord spoke unto you. Okay, Deuteronomy 4, quickly. Are you there? He says, and the Lord spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire, ye heard the voice of the word. Ye heard the voice of the word. But ye shall not salute you, only ye heard a voice. And the he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them upon two tables of stone. Amen. Now I told you the word commandment there is not Ten Commandments, actually doctrine, ten doctrines, ten words. It is, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you the statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land where thou wert to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed to yourself, for ye shall no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Now here's what he says. He says, now look up everybody. He says, you saw no similitude. Meaning, when God spoke to them, you did not see any likeness. Right? You know, some people say the Holy Spirit is a dove. Where did you get that from? Holy Spirit is not a dove. He said, you shouldn't liken him. So any similitude. Now watch it. Let it sustain. Let the least here corrupt yourself. So the moment you begin to put a picture to God, say this is God the Father, you're putting a picture. I'm putting a picture. I'm going to say this is the picture of Jesus. You're putting a picture. Some people have one picture in their room where they scan, and I say that is Jesus. No! The Bible says you shouldn't liken him to the similitude of anything. Hallelujah. Amen. I prefer to have a Chelsea logo in my house than to have a picture of someone that is called Jesus Christ. Because he shouldn't be likened to anything. Did you see that? What are you following me? What are you following me? Aha. Where will it go? Look at it, go ahead. Can you follow me? Are you following me? I didn't say you have seen it in the Bible, right? But you see, it says, amen. It says, let ye corrupt yourself and make you a graven image. The similar of any figure, the likeness of man or female. So that means you shouldn't liken God to a male or a female. In an image. Okay, what is it? Right? Verse 17, the legend of any beast that is on the earth, don't try to liken it to an animal. On the earth, or likeness of any wing or fowl that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any beast that is in the water that's been in the earth. Verse 19, let's read verse 19 together. And let thou lift thy eyes unto heaven, and when thou see the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven. Now when you hear the word host, do we say it's called supernatural beings? So listen, he says, when thou lift your eyes into heaven and thou see the sun, the moon and the stars, and even all the hosts of heaven should be driven to worship them and to serve them, which the Lord thy God has divided unto all the nations under the rain of heaven. Now we're going to deal with this next week. Amen. We're going to get into what is called negative supernatural. Amen. Where we find out that angels, supernatural beings, sing and how they sing. Hallelujah. Amen. How they sing. But let's get into a few things. Hallelujah. A few things. Now remember, I told you this is a continuation from TRC. Right? The continuation again. You will see what I'm trying to do. Upper week, we'll then get to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 2, where I taught you from a CRC. You will now see where all these things I'm saying fit in Hebrews. Where I taught during CRC. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are we doing now? So let's get a couple of things. Now, look at what he said.
He called sun, moon, and stars. He called them what? Host of heaven.
Hallelujah.
Now, we said the host is a company of supernatural beings, right? Right? Is that what we said? So, supernatural beings are called hosts of heaven. Hosts of heaven. Look at God. I mean Joshua, sorry. Joshua, chapter 5, verse 14. This was the angel that appeared to Joshua, verse 15. Look at what he said. Oh no, sorry, verse 14. And he said, no, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I come? And Joshua fell on his face and worshipped and said, what feareth my Lord unto his Sabbath? So, what is? It says the host. Now, what is it called? It says the captain of the host of the Lord. The captain. So, God works in a host, in a company, in an association of supernatural beings. Amen. And I'm getting to somewhere. That angel, the person that appeared to Joshua, was the Lord himself. Amen. We're going to get to see that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 21. Now, what did the Psalm 4 say? That we should be, he said we shouldn't worship the host of heaven. Did you remember that? We shouldn't do what? So that means supernatural beings are not to be worshipped. What are you hearing me? Supernatural beings are not to be what? Can you say that supernatural beings are not supposed to be? They are not supposed to be? Lastly, they are not supposed to be? Thank you. Look at 2 Kings 21 verse 3. Are you there? Remember, he gives up again the high places which Ezekiah his father had destroyed. And he read up altars for Baal. So the high places is reserved to supernatural things, right? Altar for Baal, and he made a group. Or high places is referring to altar. Right? Right? Supernatural altars. And he made a group as this Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped what? All the hosts of heaven, and did what? Serve them. In the children, we were not supposed to serve the host of heaven. We were not supposed to serve the host of heaven. So that means what is called idol worship? Idol worship is when you begin to worship, when you begin to serve supernatural beings, when you begin to worship supernatural beings, it's called idol worship. Amen. Amen. What does that mean? When you begin to serve angels, so let us worship angels. No! Amen. What are you hearing me? You don't worship supernatural things. You worship the Lord. What are you hearing me? So what is idol worship? When men begin to serve supernatural things. And the serving supernatural things, they will not put it up, they will not have images to represent the supernatural being. What are you telling me? The man used images. So that image is a reflection that one is serving the who? A supernatural being. Amen. Amen. Leave the nomenclator. Whether it's Shango, whether it's Ogo, whether it's Amadua, you are serving supernatural being. What are you telling me? What are you telling me? Supernatural. Leave the name. Whether it's Baal. Remember, he said to worship the host of heaven. And who was, what was the name for? He said, set up altar for Baal. Do you see that? Those are God's names. Right? But who are you? Who are they worshiping? Supernatural beings, host of heaven. And God has warned, they must not be worshipped. Hallelujah. As we get into next week, we will see
Then why did God create supernatural beings? We see their role. Amen. We see their role. Not to be worshipped. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 1, he said, are there no ministry spirits? Hebrews 1:14. Hebrews 1:14. Quickly, let's go to Hebrews 1:14. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Glory to God. Hebrews 1. I'm skipping a bit of some things in my notes, but let's go there. Hebrews 1:14. Let's read together. Want to go? Are they not? No, let's read together. Want to go? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of? Who are those who are heirs of salvation? The believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are to minister for us. Not we to worship them. What are you following me? What are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. 1 Kings 22:19. 1 Kings 22:19. Are you there? Okay? 19. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Hallelujah. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him, on his right and on his left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see that? So God is the Lord of who? The host of heaven. He is the Lord of the host of heaven. He is the Lord of the host of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the Lord of the host of heaven. Go back to Deuteronomy. Let's pay attention to something. Deuteronomy chapter 4 again. Let's pay attention to something. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter. Okay. Look at that verse 17. It says, the likeness is a verse 16. Let me corrupt yourself and make graven image. The creature of any figure. The likeness of male or female. The likeness of beast that's on the earth. The likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air. Now he says, God shouldn't be compared or likened to animals. Why? Because animals in their world are used to represent supernatural beings. So, how are supernatural beings referred to in scripture? We say host of heaven. Sometimes they are referred to as animals. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 3, for example, the serpent there that spoke to Eve, the serpent that spoke to Eve is a supernatural being. So the serpent was used to represent a supernatural being. What are you following me? The serpent was used to represent a supernatural being. So animals are used to represent supernatural beings. I want to show you something. Look at Genesis 1, 28. This is the climax of all. Genesis 1, 26 and 28. This is the climax of this teaching. This is the climax of what I'm teaching you, but I'm going to say a few things now. It says, better to see. And God said, let us create man in our, let's make man in our, after our, man in our, after our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the earth, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon thee, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon thee, to the earth. Let's see that there's one to go. Come on, let's see together, where to go. And say, I multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue, and have dominion over thee,
fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So, when Jacob said, let them have the way over the fish of the sea, he is to go and kill fishes. And you know, now to do point and say, God has to have dominion. You think it's to eat fish? Or to kill goats? No! Those animals there are used to represent supernatural beings. So man was created to have dominion over supernatural beings. Hallelujah! One of those I was saying that when the enemy say, I fear king more than that. Was it on top of it? Yeah, I said, nobody is thinking that there are no supernatural, that there is no negative power. Amen. Do you know? Amen. But why should I fear king more than God? Because I know where I'm seated. Amen. I know I have dominion over all the works of the enemy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So sometimes I say, Satan, give me your best shot. Give me your best shot. Because I know who I am. I'm not saying it with my mouth because I know it well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. When I say things like that, I'm not dismissing the fact that they are negative supernatural. I'm not dismissing the fact that they are, you know what I say? Okay, there's just some people think. I can't read that thought. What is it? Satan power, powerless power, powerless power. Lord Jesus power, super power, powerless power, Satan shall get power. Amen. Amen. But what we have is greater than him. Hallelujah. What we have is the power of God. Hallelujah. We have the power of God. And the power of God is greater than the power of the devil. But to say that doesn't have power at all, you are joking. This is me, my man. Amen. The thank God for. Amen. Amen. But the power of God is bigger. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Tell me now. How can you explain that they jab somebody, the person's eyes go blind? First I will see, they told him, you know, give him something, the eyes closed. He said, Satan does not have power. But you know something, when you see where the works of the enemy have been, when you see where Satan is operating, you know, by the power of God, you can say, whoa, and the light, and the person will be fine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You hear that, oh, they did that for this person, and then his eyes were closed, you go there. I say, in the name of Jesus, they open. Hallelujah. You can say, be open, and that eyes will be opened. Glory to God. Why? Because I have power. I have power more than the enemy. Glory to God. Because I have power more than the enemy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I have power over the enemy. I have power. Hallelujah. Jesus, I mean God, then let them have dominion. Let them have authority. So man was created to have authority over supernatural beings. Man was created to have dominion, authority. So, let's go back to something. Genesis 1 again. Genesis 1. You know, look at verses 2 to 1. It says, and God created great waves, and every creature that moveth, which the water brought forth abundantly. And after the kind, and every winged fowl, after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, if you read here, you will think that what God is creating is sea creatures, right? Sea creatures. God created the whales, the sharks. God actually did create them, right? God did create them. But Moses wasn't writing that. Moses was writing supernatural beings. Amen. So he used the whales, the animals, the sea creatures to explain supernatural beings. Amen. Now the use of the word whales there, whales, that word whales is from the Hebrew word tanu. Tanu is used for supernatural beings. This is what is called a sea dragon. dragon, serpent. Amen. Amen. You for supernatural beings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 44. Psalm 44, quickly. Verse 19, it says, "So though thou hast so broken off in the places of dragon, and hast covered up with the shadow of death." Places of dragon, that's what's happening here. 74, Psalm 74 quickly, verses 13. It says, "Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the head of the dragon in the water." Breakest the head of the dragon in the water. It's referring to supernatural thing. Verse 14. It says, "Thou breakest the head of Leviathan in pieces, and thou gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness." And it was referring to supernatural appearance. Psalms 91 verse 13. Psalms 91 verse 13. Like that. It says, "Return, O Lord." I mean, "Return, O Lord. How long? Let it repent thee." Psalms 91. Sorry, I'll read it to Psalms 90. 91 verse 13. It says, "Thou shall tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon, and thou shalt trample on their feet." Now that word then, dragon, is the same word tanihi. Now he wasn't referring here to physical lions, or referring to supernatural beings. Amen. 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 Look at how he explains it from verses 5. I'll start from verses 4. It says, "He shall cover thee with the feathers, and under his wings shall thou stop." It says, "His sword shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness." Did you see that? Darkness. "Nor for the destruction that walketh in noonday. It shall not fall by the side of the head, nor by the right hand, but shall not come near thee. Only with the eye that shall see and behold the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord thy refuge, even the most high thy inhabitation. Therefore shall no evil before thee. Never shall plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in the way." I mean, to keep thee in all thy ways. "They shall bear thee up in thy hand. Lift thou for thou thy foot upon the stone, that shall tread upon the lion and other and the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample on thy feet." Put your hands there and rush down to Luke. Jesus raised that in Luke chapter number 10, verse 17. Amen. Verses 19. It says, "Behold, I give the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the work of the enemy." So the dragon is enemy. Amen. What are you following that? What are you following that? Glory to God. So who created supernatural beings? Who created supernatural beings? Thank you. Hope you are seeing that. Amen. So the whales in Genesis 1:21, is this supernatural being? Is this supernatural being? Easy. Thank you. Hallelujah. This is God created supernatural being. Hallelujah. Look at Deuteronomy 17. Back to Deuteronomy 17. So, we said supernatural beings are described as hosts of heaven. One. Yet again, they are used, animals are used to describe them too. Right? Now the third one. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Let's flow together. Deuteronomy 17. Are you understanding what I'm teaching you? What I'm understanding is called school of the spirit. Want to understand these things well. Yeah. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 17. Are you there? Look at verse 1. It says, Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, verse 2.
If there is found amongst you,
within any of thy gates,
which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman,
or hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God, in transgressing his covenant,
or hath gone to serve other gods.
Now, what's verse 3?
And hath gone to serve other gods and worship them. Neither the sun, the moon, of all or any of the host of heaven,
which the Lord thy God hath not commanded.
So, what does he call host of heaven?
It's called them sun, moon, and stars.
Never host of heaven has spiritual beings.
They call them sun, moon, and stars.
They are called host of heaven. They are called supernatural beings.
Now, sun, moon, and stars is not a physical sun, moon, and stars.
But Moses is using it as imagery.
Was that what I taught you?
Moses is using it as imagery to teach supernatural beings.
Sun, moon, and stars.
Moses is using it as figures.
Hallelujah.
So you shouldn't worship sun, moon, and stars.
What's happening?
Amen.
Amen.
Don't worship the sun. Don't worship the moon. Don't worship the stars.
Look at the second verse, verse 22.
So, stars, sun, moon, and stars are used to refer to supernatural beings.
Deuteronomy 10, verse 22.
What are following me?
22, it says,
thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 scores.
I mean, with 70 scores,
and now the Lord thy God has made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude.
You see that?
Stars of heaven. So when you have stars of heaven, it speaks of multitude.
When you have innumerable company of angels. Do you remember that?
We have been called into an innumerable company of angels.
Do you see that?
Amen.
Amen.
So they are called supernatural beings.
You can also read that in Deuteronomy 28, verse 62.
Judges 5, 19 to 20.
So, Moses will use the imagery of someone and stars to teach about supernatural beings.
To teach about what?
Supernatural beings.
Now, something to see, Genesis 1, verse 16.
Genesis 1, verse 16.
Okay, let's start from verse 13. It says, and the evening and the morning were the third day, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. And heaven be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years.
So the light in the firmament are for signs.
You see that?
So Moses is showing you that he's using the sun, moon, and stars as imagery, as signs.
Signs are not the real thing.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 15.
Verse 15.
And let there be for light in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth.
Verse 16.
And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also.
So, the sun, moon, and stars were there to give light.
No, I need you to follow me.
There's already day and night.
Amen. There's already day and night.
So why did he make the sun, moon, and stars?
Now, he was not referring to, remember I told you they were for signs.
They were for what?
Signs.
Signs means it's not the reason.
So the sun, moon, and stars that Moses wrote in Genesis 1 were supernatural beings.
God created the sun, moon, and stars.
He calls them the host of heaven.
He called them the what?
The host of heaven, supernatural beings.
So, why am I showing you this?
I'm showing you this for you to see that God created supernatural beings.
So supernatural beings are not opposite to God.
I always say that Satan and God are not in opposite direction.
I say this is God, this is Satan.
No.
Amen.
Just like say, God and Satan, you can say Liverpool, and Arsenal are two opposite clubs that are fighting themselves, right?
Mind you and Arsenal,
two opposite clubs,
right?
But when it comes to God, you can't place God and Satan, or God and supernatural beings on the same level.
God created them.
Hallelujah. God did what? God did what?
So where did God create supernatural beings?
In Genesis 1.
Is Satan a supernatural being?
Yes.
Where was he created?
In Genesis 1.
What are you following me? What are you following me? Hold on. God created supernatural beings where?
In Genesis 1.
What are you following that? So never think God and Satan are fighting.
How?
How can God and Satan be fighting? It's just like saying, you are preparing now.
You.
Look at that baby. Just left. You now went to red globe. What is happening?
It's absolute.
How? You say, I want to fight just now. You know we should be looking at you first. We don't want to take you to psychiatric hospital. Let them shake your brain. It's just now you are preparing all these people. You went to gym. You went to register for gym. They are how to fight that thing.
No.
You guys are not on the same level. Hallelujah. Or if you maybe just to spank her like this and then she'll cry away.
Amen.
Amen. You can play God and supernatural beings on the same level. He is called the Lord. You know what he's called Lord?
Source.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is where we are in. We are the children of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Okay, God is going to, God is fighting the devil.
Have you ever heard that God fought the devil?
No.
Or fought for us? No. God judges them. Amen. He judges them. Amen. Not just in judging them. God, you open here, he destroys them. You say God was preparing to go and fight. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He is the Lord of hosts. Say, God is the Lord of hosts. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12. That is Genesis 28. Sorry, Genesis 28. Genesis 12. Let's see something. This is the vision of Jacob. Hallelujah. Verses 12. It says, and he knew. And behold, the leg has set upon the earth, and the top of it reached heaven. And behold, angels of God ascending and descending on it. So he said, a ladder reached. He saw a ladder upon the earth, he reached, the top reached heaven. So he showed it was a supernatural vision. He says, heaven is just a supernatural. So what did he see? He said, he saw angels descending, ascending and descending. You see that? Angels were ascending and supernatural beings, host of heaven. Right? Sun, moon, and stars. Right? What does that mean again? Okay. If you just ascending and descending, right? Now let's get somewhere. Verse 13. Who stood above him? And behold, the Lord stood above him. Hallelujah. Yahweh stood above him. Who stood above him? Yahweh stood above him. Lord stood above him. Hallelujah. So that means God is the Lord. He stood above it. Other angels are ascending and descending. So God stood above it. Meaning he is the Lord. Hallelujah. He is the head. Glory to God. What are you following me? Now, Yahweh stood above it. That is what we are explaining. When you talk about authority, delivered authority, supernatural authority, that is Genesis 8 verse 12 and 13. God, when you hear believers of authority, it is God who is above supernatural beings. Hallelujah. What are you saying? It is God who is above supernatural beings. Hallelujah. So what is the authority of God? He is above supernatural beings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Jesus, now you be your God. Jesus, now you be your God. Every other God, not so say, yeah, yeah. All other gods, not so say, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Every other God means they don't have power. This is your authority. Amen. Amen. We are getting somewhere. So I'm filling in the gap in Hebrews chapter 2 that I taught. So when he says, he has called many sons to glory.
Where is the glory?
Above.
Did you see that?
On top of the ladder.
Called many sons to glory.
Hallelujah.
When he says, we are seated together with him in the heavenly place. This is it. This is it.
Far above principalities and power.
Is this the ladder?
And over every name that is named.
That is. So every writer that wrote about the authority of the believer will write from Genesis 28.
Amen.
The authority of God. Genesis 28.
He's above all.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So where is man supposed to function?
In that assembly.
In that assembly of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In that assembly.
Oh, glory to God.
You know, when Jesus came, and Jesus came, he died as a man.
He rose as a man.
He went to heaven as a man for us.
Hallelujah.
He went to heaven as a man for us.
He not went to heaven as a man.
To do what?
To take up our sin.
So where he is, that's where we are.
The Lord of heaven.
The Lord of hosts.
And we are in him.
But yet we are in him.
Where?
The Lord above all.
Hallelujah.
What are you hearing me?
So why would you be afraid?
Why would you wake up in the night and you are scared?
Scared of what?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Scared of what?
It's in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hope you are hearing me.
So, supernatural beings shouldn't be worshipped.
You can see where they are.
Who should be worshipped is the Lord above all.
Glory to God.
Number four, what are they called?
I was thinking I can take more than this, but
they are called Job 38 verse 7. Quickly.
Job 38 verse 7.
Let's just look at this.
Job 38
verse 7.
Are you there?
Are you there?
So when the morning stars sang together, stars sing.
So that means the stars is referring to what?
Supernatural beings.
Right?
When the morning stars sang together.
Right?
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah, sang together.
And all the sons of God shouted for joy.
So, supernatural beings are called morning stars. And they are called sons of God. Can you see? They are called morning stars. And they are called what?
Sons of God.
This is serious, right? Supernatural beings, though. Look at Genesis 6. Genesis 6.
Are you there?
Genesis 6.
Verses 1.
It says, it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God.
You see that?
Saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and took them wives to themselves. Verse 4. And they were dying to the earth in those days, and also after when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they brought children, the same became mighty men which of old, men of renown. So sons of God, and were used to refer to angels or supernatural beings. Supernatural beings are also called sons of God. Why are they called sons of God? Why are they called sons of God? Why are supernatural beings called sons of God? Now I told you, well, yes, now, those people are shouting, why is Jesus called son of God? Who is Jesus' mother? Supernatural beings are called sons of God. Who is their mother? We should see, in fact, you should repeat lovely one. We should take it to kindergarten. Lots of people realize, ah, let me have you, Christian. He says, not from the son of God, he says, then, who is God's wife? That's a rubbish, stupid question to ask. Amen. Anybody that asks such kind of question, they should open his brain. Remove his membrane. He said, remove it. Eh? And carry coconut water. No coconut water, your right one. Point is at his brain. That is darkness. How do you talk like that? Now, I told you, sonship is used for function. I said that to us, right? Functionality. Next is on, why do you call sons of God? A similar phrase to that would be First Kings. When you have sons of prophets, let's get to First Kings. A similar phrase. Let's understand how sons are used, right? First Kings, chapter 20, verse 35. I explained it better in the volume 1. So you can also get the volume 1 of this teaching. I'm just going through what I've taught in volume 1. The volume 1 will also be available. But what volume 1, given the volume 1 and volume 2, that some information are in volume 1 and not in volume 2. Some information are in volume 2 and not in volume 1. So you have to read this one of them to get like patience. Amen. It's patience. You can't skip any one of them. And practically, what I've done practically is to repeat volume 1 and volume 2 and add some things that were not in volume 1. And take away some things that are in volume 1. So that you read, when you are in volume 2, you have to go back to volume and vice versa. Very simple. So you have to listen to both of them. Everything volume 2, everything volume 1, the volume 2, so see volume 1. You will need it. There are some vital information like this one that I'm about to say. Amen. So I'll just say see, then you get the volume 1 to see. First Kings 20, verse 35. He says, and a certain man of the sons of the prophet said unto his neighbor in the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite. So he heard something called sons of the prophet. Do you see that? Second Kings. Go down to Second Kings 2. Sons of the prophet. Mark down. Second Kings 2. This is 3. And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Verse 5. And the sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master, who is Elijah, from thy head today? And he answered, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. So you find sons of God repeated in verse 7. Now look at verse 15. And the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jerusalem, saw him and said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Sons of the prophets. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. It says, now they cried a certain woman on the rights of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the covenant is come to take unto him my two sons to be born there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we find the word sons of the prophet. Now therefore, I mean chapter 4 shows us that this woman's husband was a son of the prophet with Elisha. So who is the son of the prophet? What do you say, son of a prophet? What does it mean? Sons of the prophet are those who work together with the prophet. They work together with the prophet. They are found around the prophet working together. working together. Sons of the prophet are those who work together with the prophet. So when you hear the word son, son is used for those who work together or function with one another. Those who work together or function with one another. Son is not used in the Bible for male or female. It's not used for gender. No, it's used for those who work together. Otherwise, a lady can say, I'm the son of God. Amen. Son is used for those who work together with another. Look at Exodus chapter 4. Exodus 4, 23. I'll read from verse 22. Exodus 4. Look at verse 22. It says, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thou fear the Lord, Israel is my son. Israel as a nation is my son. A nation is called the son of God. A nation, Israel, is called God's son. Now the nation is not made as today, men and women, all of them together, God called them son. So it makes you see that son is not gender. Can you see that? Son is not what? Son is not what? It's not gender. It's not God's gender. Amen. Israel is my son. 23. He says, and I tell to thee, let my son, that he may serve me. And if I refuse to let him go, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now he said that he may serve me. This is why they are called sons. Because they are supposed to walk with God, that he may serve me. Did you see that? So they are called sons because Israel as a nation has a duty responsibility with God towards all the nations of the earth. They were to walk with God as a nation. Remember that? So they were called sons. What does it mean that? So why is Israel called sons? Israel is called sons because they have to walk with God. Right? They have to serve God. So sonship is service. So the son of the prophet, they were serving the prophet. Yes, they were walking together with the prophet, serving the prophet. Did you see that? Serving the prophet in the working of God or in the work of God. So Israel is called son because of service. Yes, they serve the law, right? How will they serve the law? In their responsibility towards every nation of the world. Hallelujah. Therefore, we can say sonship is service. So in sonship is what? Sonship is what? Service. Now, something to see. When Elijah was taken away from Elisha, what did Elisha shout? He said, my father, my father. 2 Kings chapter 2, from verse 10. He shouted, my father, my father. Verse 10 to verse 14. He says, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He called, now Elisha was or is Elijah's son. Now not because he gave birth to him, but because they would walk together. Right? He served Elijah. So he's called Elijah's son. Now, in sonship, the one who is the apex, who is the head, is called father. Did you see that? The one who is the head is called what? Is called what? Is called what? Father. So, that's why Israel will refer to God as father. Did you see that? What does that mean? Father means source. Source, the head. Hallelujah. Therefore, we are coming to something. In the assembly of supernatural beings, why are they called sons? They are called sons because they were, remember we said God works in a union. God works in an association, in an assembly, right? Of hosts, right? Assembly of supernatural beings. Now what is their role? Their role is to serve the Lord. They have a function to the Lord. Right? Their role is to serve. Now stop. Hebrews 1. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of what? Salvation. You see that? So they have a duty of service to the Lord. Hallelujah. God works with. I told God works in an association. God works in a company of angels. company of supernatural beings. That's why in Hebrews 12, when they say we are coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels. Can you see that? Innumerable company of angels. God walks with supernatural beings. Hallelujah. God walks with supernatural beings. So supernatural beings are now called what? Sons of God. Why? Because they walk together with God. Hallelujah. Now why stop? Listen to me now. So why is Jesus called the Son of God? We're going to see something. Jesus is not called a Son of God. Supernatural beings are called sons of God. Jesus is not called a Son. Jesus is called the Son of God. The Son of God. Certainly. We're going to see that in our teaching or in the coming days. Jesus is called the Son of God. All the writers of the New Testament refer to Jesus as the Son of God. Definitely, not a son. The Son. The Son. Why is it the Son? He's the Son because of functionality. Amen. Deuteronomy 6. Now, Jesus and these angels are not the same level. No. Amen. Deuteronomy 6. Rush quickly, we know. Deuteronomy 6. I will only answer this. I've said this before. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, I thought when I hear the word one, does it mean single one? That word one there is used for Ikar. That's the word Ikar. The Lord your our God is one. Ikar. Ikar is used in Genesis 2:24 for Adam and Eve. Therefore, this reason shall a man cleave to his wife and the two shall become one. Adam and Eve, they are one, but are they one being? When a man gets married to a woman, they are called one, right? So, is it one singular person or both of them? The both of them is called one. Did you see that? The both of them is called one. So one is used for union. The Lord our God is in a union. Amen. Amen. Now this is not God with supernatural beings. So this is the Godhead itself. The Godhead itself, God functions as one, as a union. Now, there's no way in Bible, I've said it and I've said it, there's no way in Bible that it is said that God is a singular being. Yahweh is a singular being. Amen. Amen. Some people have problem with that because I don't know. But the children of Israel didn't have problem with that. To know that Yahweh is the cat, is in the union. Now, the writer of the New Testament will talk about the Godhead. Right? You have the Father, God the Father, God the Son, right? Right? And God the Holy Spirit. Now, very vital, when you open Genesis 1, even Genesis, from Genesis, there was no place where it shows you either singular being. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 said, the earth was not formed by word, and the Spirit of God. Did you see that? Right? The force to be revealed in the Godhead, the Spirit of God. In Genesis 1:26, he said, let us, who is the us? I said, no, the us is the other supernatural beings. They were not created. So be coming now. Amen. Let us, the us is referring to the Godhead. They are in a union. Amen. God is in a union. So why is Jesus called Son? In the Old Testament book, he's called the Word of the Lord. Did you see that? In the Old Testament, it's called the Word of the Lord, right? Why is he called Son? He's called Son because of functionality. He starts in the earth. And he became a man. So that God, as a man, will raise up sons as men. Hallelujah. So that is why you and I are called sons, because we are found in the Son. And the Son is the head of the sons of heaven. Did you see that? The Son is the head. We're going to see that. The Son is the head of all principalities and power, of all supernatural things. And we are in Him. Hallelujah. So Jesus being the Son of God is because He became a man. And it's because of functionality. Hallelujah. Okay, following that. Okay, following that. Okay, following me. So stop asking. Some people ask, make you think rubbish. Who is not the mother? Who is the mother of God? Who is the mother of Jesus? Who is the wife of God? Mary. Can you see yourself? Can you see yourself? Did you really go to school after? If Mary is the wife of God, then Joseph is the husband of me. So Mary has two husbands. Are you? You should see your students. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is the calf. Hallelujah. Think we have to end this in. Okay. Next, number five. Supernatural beings are called angels. This will be very short. I want to talk about enemies, but they are called angels. Angels. Angels is from the Hebrew word malak. Malak. Now, angel is not a person. Angel is not a person. Angel is not a living being. Angel is a... How should I put it? Angel is not... How should I put it? Okay, angel is a job role. It's a job description. What are you following me? Angel is a job description. It's more of a function. There's nothing like... No, we generally call supernatural beings angels, right? And that's not wrong. It's because of their job role. But in scriptures, three sets of people are called angels. Supernatural beings. Right? Man. And God himself is called angels. We're going to see that shortly. Hope I need you to follow me. So the word malak in the Hebrew is implied a messenger. One who carries a message. So it's used for both supernatural beings, when they deliver a message, is this for man, is this for God? Let's see when it's used for supernatural beings. When a supernatural being delivers a message, he's called angel. Genesis 51:17. Angel. And the Lord heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven. This is that angel of God. Exodus 33:20. Angel. Exodus 33:2. And lastly, what we just read, Genesis 28:12, when it said the angels of God are ascending and descending, referring to supernatural things. You see that? Now let's see where men are called angels. Now remember, I told you angel is a messenger, right? Joshua 6:17. Joshua 6:17. Malak. You see, and the city shall be called, even all that are daring to the Lord. Only Ahab, the harlot, shall be, for she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messenger that was sent. That's the word messenger. Messenger there is angel. Messenger. And it was referring to men. Look at verse 25. Joshua 6:25. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel, even unto this day, because she hid the messenger. That's the word messenger. Can you see? Hallelujah.
Joshua 7:22. Messengers. Joshua sent messengers. So messengers is the same word malak, angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Read Numbers 20:14. You find the same word messengers and 16. Messengers. Messengers. So they are used for persons. Also, when God himself delivers his message himself. Now, how does God deliver his message himself? Via the what? The word of the Lord. Listen now. Did you remember that? How does God deliver his message? The word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you remember that? Amen. Amen. You guys are not reading your notes. How does God deliver his message? By the word of the Lord. When he says, you the Lord, I hear that. You send your word. When the Bible says he sent his word and he healed that disease. Was it he sent his audio voice? He sent his word, he sent. Who was the word? The word of the Lord. Did you remember the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord? Who's the word of the Lord? Jesus in the Old Testament books. Not as a man, but as the visible reality of God. Did you remember that? The visible reality of sanction. So, when God delivers his message himself, he's called the angel. Many times, he's called Malak Yahweh, the angel of the Lord. Malak Yahweh. Or the angel of his presence. Angel of God himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 48. Genesis 48. I'm coming. Are you there? Okay. Verse 16. He said, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the Lord. So the angel which redeemed me from all evil. You see that? I don't know who's referring to. What's he referring to? That was Genesis chapter 28, where we're at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he said, the person that visited him was the angel which redeemed him, and he was referring to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was referring to God. He called God the angel. He said, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the Lord. Let the name, upon the name of my father, Abraham, Isaac, and let it them grow into mercy in the midst of the earth. Put your hands there. Look at chapter 28, verse 16. He said, and the Lord, and behold, look at verse 16. He said, and the Lord stood above me and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, right? Thy father, and God of Isaac, and the land which thou liest, I will give unto thee and thy seed. And he spoke and verse 16, said, and the Lord, and behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all the places thou goest. I will bring you again into the land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken unto you. So, who spoke to him? Who spoke to him? God himself. Now, in chapter 48, he called God the angel. Why did he call God the angel? He called God the angel because God delivered a message to him. Did you see that? Because God delivered a message control. What are following you? Look at Abraham. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. Verse 11. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand on the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from, can an angel say from me? Can a supernatural being say from me? Who was Abraham supposed to sacrifice his son to? So, did you see? Who spoke to Abraham? God, but it was said an angel from God. Did you see that an angel spoke to him from heaven? Did you see that? Glory to God. Look at verse 15. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I swore. It says, by myself, an angel cannot say this. A supernatural being cannot say this. By myself, I swore, fear the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. Then in blessing, I will bless thee. An angel cannot say in blessing, I will bless thee. Amen. An angel cannot, we're going to see something. An angel, a supernatural being, right? Sun, moon, and stars. Angels, right? They cannot receive worship. They cannot receive worship of man. When an angel receives worship from man, that is a fallen angel. We're going to see that next week. That is the word, fallen angel. Angel is not supposed to receive worship from man. Because angels are supposed to worship God. But when you read a scripture like this, angel saying, I am. You should know it's not a supernatural being, but the Lord himself. Did you see that? I am. That is God's signature. Hallelujah. It's God's signature. So that is the Lord. So God is also called the angel when you come to reach his message. Hallelujah. God is called angel. Now, can we pause and say, the angel we are referring to, is it the word of the Lord? Is it the word of the Lord? Is it the word of the Lord? Did Jesus in the Old Testament do as the visible reality of God? Exactly what we are talking about. As the visible reality of God. Hallelujah. So, who is the head of supernatural beings? The Lord. Right? Right? Also called the angel. Also called the word of the Lord, also is Jesus. Did you see that? Are you following me? Now do you see where I've been coming from? Right from when I started teaching you the visible reality of God, right from John, is because of this teaching. Amen. So it will not be hard for you to see. Hallelujah. So who is at the head of the table? Not Liverpool. Who? The Lord. Amen. Who is at the hell? God. Not those who are walking alone and saying never walk alone. Amen. Amen. What are you following that? What are you following that? Do you understand what I said? Do you understand what I said? Do you understand what I said?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I won't go further. I wanted to talk to us about Elohim. I won't go further. I will end this here. So angel is a generic name for one who delivers a message. Much more, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. When God delivers this message, he's called the angel of the Lord. Right? When God delivers this message, he's called the angel of the Lord. He sits on the top of the ladder. He is the Lord of hosts. God is the Lord of hosts.
Hallelujah. God is the Lord of hosts. He's called the Lord, and we are found in Him. So that means the believer. He's called the believer. He's called sons of God because we are in Him. We are in the Son. Right? We are in the Son, and the Son is on the head, is at the head. And that is why when you read Paul, these are the things that Paul understood from Peter. I was talking to a younger minister yesterday who had long hours discussing, and I told him, I don't even know this very vital. I said, when Paul writes like this, I said, Paul is very scholarly. Paul understood scripture. Right? So when he goes back and he sees that the Lord is on top, the Lord is the head. Right? And that same the Lord is who appeared to him in Acts 9. Watch it. It's he who appeared to him in Acts 9 and said, I am the Lord. Right? Who you persecute. And he knew. Paul knew. I was going to persecute the children of God in Damascus. And here is Jesus telling him, I am the Lord whom thou persecute. Automatically, Paul knew that he is now one with the church. He's now one. That is a temporal reality. So when Paul sees Genesis 4 and sees the Lord above on the ladder, he looks and he sees him as the Lord of hosts from the Old Testament book. And then the believers are found in him. Therefore, when they rise in Ephesus and say, which he wrote in Christ, that is Ephesians chapter 1. When he set him on by his own right hand in the heavens, he says, far above, he's like 20, above principality, above power, above might, above every name that is made. Not only in this world, but that, in that which is to come. He sees Jesus above. Then in chapter 2, he now says, for by grace we are saved, but because of our power, the Lord of works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. So we are saved. Where are we? He says we are seated. He says we are raised us up and make us to sit together in Christ. That's what he has done. In Christ. In the heavenly place. The heavenly is where Jesus is seated. Far above supernatural place. And we are there. So the believer's authority is the authority of Christ in and with the church. Hallelujah. The believer's authority is the authority of Christ in and with the church. For the church. In and with them who we are saved. No wonder in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. And now say, go therefore. He received the authority not for himself. He received the authority for man. When he said, all authority has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. He received it for man. Hallelujah. That man will be found in him. That man will have the authority of God. Hallelujah. We have that authority. We have that authority. We have that authority. Say, I have that authority. I have the authority of God. I have the authority of God. Hallelujah. Say, I'm seated. You know, you need to say this earlier. Remember I told you the character of God's word and what to do with God's word. You say it, right? And I'm giving you something to say in this book. See, I'm seated. Far above. Principalities are far. I'm seated. Above. All the works of the enemy. I'm seated far above. You can say it. Say it. Now you can say after me. Say it. Say I'm giving you a best shot. I'm seated far above. I'm bigger than the devil. I'm far above. Far, far, far above. Far above. Far above. Hallelujah. Someone said, one thing in my family, they used to do that. Well, I'm far above. I'm far above God. Hallelujah. Is that? One thing somebody is holding. What did my village people after me? Well, I'm far above. Amen. I'm far above. I'm far above. Hallelujah. When a man is in Christ, he has changed identity. When a man gets born again, he has changed identity. Changed identity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Share with someone what you learned. Share with someone what you learned. Come to someone and share with them what you learned. Just what you learned this morning. Lord, my God, we are so done.